You know, some folks say they love to have been a part of the church back in the New Testament days, the book of Acts. Well, we're getting there. Because they didn't have church buildings to go in. They met out in parking lots. Of course, they wouldn't have had parking lots, but they'd have been open air spaces. They'd have met in the woods. They met in caves. They met in homes. They met just most anywhere. And so that's about where we are these days as Christians. Very few have been able to get back into the building as yet. But as Brenda just played, "Oh, Worship the King," reminded, that's what we're here for, to worship King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we're in a cave or if we're in a home or we're in a big cathedral, as long as Jesus is worshiped, that's what counts. We thank you folks for joining in each week on the website, and we appreciate the comments that you're making, and pray that God is saying something to your heart through the messages or the prayers or the announcements or the music. And appreciate those who come each week to lead and be a part of that. Give a Saturday afternoon, week after week, to be able to come and minister to you on Sunday through the webcast. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you that Jesus is the exalted one upon the throne, that every knee bows before him, even the coronavirus, which is a name. Every name bows before Jesus. Every name, every knee bows before Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Father, today we thank you for the victory that is ours through Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Father, I pray for each person that's listening, whether they listen on Sunday or some other day of the week, or maybe weeks later, I pray for each person that listens. May they hear from heaven, not my voice, but your voice. Father, minister to every person, whether they're lonely, whether they're in sickness, whether they need Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that through your perfect will and through your powerful name, you'll minister to their needs. And Lord, if there's a person that's listening today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit, go and lovingly, gently confront and draw and lead that person to that perfect salvation relationship that will change their eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to sing a song for you today that I'm going to ask you also to sing along with the chorus at home. I Need Thee Every Hour. And if you look at John 15, you will find that this makes very clear that without Christ, you can do nothing. And without Christ, you will surely fail. And the words to this song certainly apply to where we are today. I Need Thee Every Hour. Brenda. Most gracious Lord. Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most morning. We welcome you to our Sunday, May the 31st webcast service, and we welcome you to this Sunday service. But before we continue on, I want to make a few announcements, please. One of the announcements that I want you to remember is we'll be having our quarterly conference the first Sunday in June, which is next Sunday. As we do our parking lot service, we will have the quarterly conference. Secondly, we want to remind you to continue to send your cards to the Bryson Martin family. You all have the addresses that we have sent to you on the email plus the web, the one call. So you have all of that. But if you do need the address, just contact your deacon. He will have it for you. We will continue to have two services each Sunday until advised differently. We'll have our webcast for those who cannot come to our parking lot service, and then we'll have our parking lot service at 10 o'clock. So be here Sunday for the 10 o'clock service each time. Okay? Then that's all the announcements I have at this point in time. So keep those in mind. And I will now continue on to our prayer request. Our prayer request for this Sunday. Remember the Janice Good family. Keep Angie and the family in your prayers as they have lost their dear mother. Let's remember Gerald Little. Gerald Little has had a stroke, and he's paralyzed on one side and has speech problems as well. I was able to go by there last Thursday. I stayed in my car. I saw him on the deck, and I said hello. But he definitely needs our prayers. Let's continue to pray for the Bryson Martin family. As Bryson is continuing, he's at St. Jude, and the family is there at the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis. Let's pray for our church, Pastor Ed, as he leads at this critical time in our history. Let's continue to pray for our praise team who meets here and continues to have our services and help with our services each week. Our nation is going through some very trying times right now with the coronavirus, and our NC cases are up at this particular time. And then let's pray for our cities who are in riots now. I watched the news last night, and I was so concerned to watch the riots and unrest that is going on in our nation. Let's pray for our nation. And then our upcoming Bible school in July, it's going to be handled a little bit differently, and you'll be hearing about the announcements later on as we go through. But we will be having a Bible school. It may not be like you're used to seeing, but we will have a Bible school. So we'll let Grant and the team, all of those, be announcing that to you. Now, also, as we continue, remember, we ask that you remember Colleen O'Toole. Colleen O'Toole is going to go into brain surgery tomorrow, Monday. That's all the requests I have, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to be together today. We pray, Lord, that we pray for our church, and pray, Lord, for those who cannot be there, who are listening to the webcast. And Lord, we know there's those who are listening to the webcast who are not members of Barbie's Grove. We pray for them, and we're thankful for them listening to our service as well. We ask, Lord, that you continue now, Lord, as we wait upon your leadership and your guidance And Lord, we know, Lord, that you are stronger than anything we have a problem with. But Lord, we do need your help and your touch here as we go through on this coronavirus, as we continue to try our very best to open up in some areas and to work and continue on. But we pray for your help. Lord, we pray for the Janice Good family as Angie has lost her mom, and we pray for the entire family, her father as well. We pray for Gerald Little with the stroke and the condition he's in. We lift him up to you, Lord. We pray for the little Bryson Martin, who is also in a continued need for us. And Bryson is St. Jude and his family there at the Ronald McDonald House in Memphis. We pray for them. We pray for our church, Pastor Ed, our praise team, and then our nation. And Lord, those people in all around who are experiencing riots now, Indianapolis being the chief one, we pray, Lord, for all of those people, and we lift them up to you. We pray for cool heads that might prevail this coming evening. Then we pray for our upcoming Bible school. We pray a special blessing upon it. And then for the Colleen O'Toole as she is going into brain surgery tomorrow. Lord, these are the ones that we have and we can mention, Lord, but there are those that are on our prayer list that we continue to pray for as well. We ask, Lord, that you touch and, Lord, that you fit a blessing to each and every need. And, Lord, I know if you fit the blessing, it'll be a perfect fit. And, Lord, we thank you for that. Go with us now, Lord, as we continue on in our services today. And we pray, Lord, for each one who have a part. We lift up our Pastor Ed to you at this point in time. And, Lord, these many, many blessings we pray in your sweet Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, and I'm glad you could join us today. This week, as I have been thinking about the Angela Barbie family and the Miss Ruth Whitley family, it comes to mind that when we get to heaven, nothing that's happened on this earth is going to compare to what we see with Jesus. And this song has been running through my mind for the last couple of weeks, and it really hit home this week with the news of our deaths in our church community. So please pray for me as I sing.
I can only imagine.
glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
You know, last week when we had the outside service, I sort of halfway jokingly made a reference to the fact that the government didn't call churches essential. And I want to follow that up a little bit today. You remember back weeks ago whenever we started the shutdown and stay at home and all of that, they began to separate businesses into the essential and the non-essential. And of course, the essential were the grocery stores and the gas stations. Now, what I didn't understand and still don't understand how the ABC store could be the essential one. And there's one not far from my house, and I go by it on a regular basis. Notice the correct word. I go by it. I don't go in. I don't stop. I just drive by. And if a number of cars that have been there several times has one person out of every car in the business, they are not practicing social distancing. There's too many people in the building at one time. But that's not my problem. And then the government said, we're going to shut down the non-essential businesses. Hair salons, gyms, clothing stores. Now, I know some women, and I won't name names, that clothing stores are more than a non-essential business. Belk's, Penny's, Steinmark, they got to go. But anyway, the government said shut them down. And then churches. Churches were non-essential. And now even in phase two, churches are still rated non-essential. And I know that there's some churches that have sued and some churches that have defied that regulation and are meeting inside and not practicing, some practicing social distancing, some not, but churches are still called non-essential. Get to thinking about that. Well, really, some churches are non-essential. They don't make a difference. Because anybody, anywhere can put a sign out and say, blank church. And they put Baptist or some other name on it. Or they can put community or they, you know, I'm not throwing off on any particular church. But you can put a sign out there and say, this is a church. But that doesn't make it really a Christian church. What kind of church would be non-essential? One that a church that's preaching heresy. And there are churches that I'm aware of that don't preach the Word of God from the Bible. They preach somebody's opinion. They preach some twisted version. And that church really is not essential. Another churches that have the church name that aren't really essential are those that are cults. And from time to time over these years, we've seen cults cause all kinds of problems and everything. And I can think of some churches that I know of that really, it's just a little group that's a cult. And then there are other churches that really are non-essential because they don't matter. Now, when I say that, let me give you an example. I know a church that started maybe 60 years ago, started out of a nasty church split. I ran into the pastor, whom I knew personally, after the church had been in existence for about 25 years or so. And he said, "Brother Ed," said, "I have stomped on the toes of those folks for 25 years, and they're just as sorry now as they were when I started." Said, "I haven't made a bit of difference in their life." Said, "I've just stomped and stomped and stomped on their toes, and it just doesn't make any difference." Well, a few years later, that pastor was dead, and they've limped along each since then. But in all of these years, I've never heard of a single positive thing about that particular church. A ministry, a mission, a touch on the community. And a church like that really isn't very essential to the community. You remember Jesus told a parable about a landowner who goes to his farm and he talks to the gardener and he says, "I've come 3 years in a row looking for fruit from this tree. And there's no fruit on this tree 3 years in a row. Get your chainsaw out and cut it down." And the gardener says, "Give it one more year. Give it one more year and I'll give it special attention. And if it doesn't bear fruit then, we'll just do away with it." Are there churches that are non-essential and the Lord are saying they really don't matter? Something to think about, something to pray about, something to consider. In the book of Acts, if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, to the second chapter, in the first two or three chapters of Acts, two or three, four chapters, I want to talk about what really makes a church essential. What really makes a church important. What really pleases the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by that determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Then over to verse 32. "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear." And then verse 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then one other verse in Acts 4, verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." An essential church is going to exalt Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the crucified one. He's the risen one. He's the one seated at the right hand of the Father. He's King of kings, of Lord of lords. And in the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. We're all going to come and stand before the Lord one day on the basis of, is Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior? And if we are going to be an essential church, we're going to exalt Jesus. We're going to lift him up. We're going to honor him. We're going to make him the center. The preacher's not the center of the church. The choir's not the center of the church. The congregation's not the center of the church. Jesus is the center of the church. Here on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who had just days before denied that he even knew Jesus, he stands up, and I don't know how big the crowd was, but if 3,000 got saved, as we'll see in a moment ago, must have been a right fair-sized congregation. And Peter says, this Jesus, you crucified him. You're the one that did away with him. He was the Son of God. He's the Messiah. God raised him from the dead, and we saw it. Jesus Christ is exalted. Now turn over to verse 41 of chapter 2. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse 47 of chapter 2. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The second characteristic of an essential church is one is where people are being saved. It's a soul saving station. I know that this is not the way that the world looks at its situation, but this is reality. You can live or die, but the only important thing is, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You can get the COVID virus. You can starve to death. Or you can live pain-free, healthy, fat and sassy. But if you don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter. Now, it doesn't mean that if you know Jesus, you're going to be sick and all of that. It just means that all the important issues of life come down to Jesus Christ and our relationship with him. Again, you remember one of the stories that Jesus told, a rich man and Lazarus? Rich man said, the scripture says he fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus was covered with sores and tried to eat the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. But by and by, both left this world. Lazarus was Abraham's bosom, a place of blessing. Rich man in a place of torment sure realized he had blown his life. And he says, Abraham, send somebody back and tell my brothers. Tell my brothers, don't come here. This morning, folks, those that are lost and in eternity would say, oh, you need Jesus. You need Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And an essential church is one that is going to be preaching and teaching and leading and in our daily witness, bringing people to Jesus. I've been reading a book on about, they did surveys with a number of people that were what they called formerly unchurched and are now in church. It's people that, adults, that either didn't go to church at all or were the Easter Sunday crowd, or and how many of them now, and they get into reasons why they're now in church and saved and living for the Lord. And so many of them, it came out of a relationship, a friend, a family member. By their witness and by their lifestyle led that person to say, you know, maybe I need Jesus. And because that witness, it brought them to the Lord. An essential church is going to be a soul-saving place. Now look at Acts 2, verses 42 and 43. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. An essential church is one where people are growing in the Lord, growing in Christ-likeness to Jesus. Now see, I don't know what the pastor preached when he said he stomped on their feet for 25 years and nobody changed. But that's not a Bible church. A gospel church, as you see here in the book of Acts, it says they were steadfast in studying and in fellowship, and they were growing in the Lord. They were growing to be more and more like Jesus. You remember it wasn't too long after this that it says they were called Christians, little Christ. Another place in town, it says, those that have turned the world upside down, they've come to our town also. We as believers in Jesus Christ ought to become more Christ-like. That means we're going to be more kind, more loving, more forgiving, more tolerant of those who are struggling. All kinds of things that are going to make a difference in our life. And because we are different, those that we contact, those that we touch, are going to be different. One of the saddest funerals I ever preached. Sunday school teacher, deacon, choir member, pulpit committee member. Walked out into the cemetery after the service, and somebody walked up to me and said, I worked with this man 25 years and I never knew he was a Christian. And I felt so sad. A man that gave no evidence to a coworker of a relationship with Jesus. Evidently, he hadn't grown any in the Lord. An essential church is where people are going to grow. Grow spiritually. Oh, how good it is to feel like you're getting more knowledgeable, but also more closely in tune with the Savior. Then look at verse 44 of chapter 2. And they all believed, were together, and had all things in common. And then chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the price of those things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. These folks were generous, and they met the needs of others. An essential church has a heart for the world. Those that are unsaved, those that are hurting, those that are hungry. I've told you a number of times about some friends of ours that run a ministry to the homeless in Tulsa. And this week there was a Facebook post, and they always give a witness and a testimony, but nobody had even given an invitation. Said all of a sudden this week, looked like about a dozen men, according to the picture in the Facebook post, they were on their knees at the front. Nobody called them to come down. Nobody gave an invitation. Just something the Holy Spirit drew these men to salvation. They were there to get the food and the other things that the folks were handing out. But as a result of their ministry, a number of men came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Folks, generous, generous, generous. Let's look at one other verse, 431. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness. And of course, you know in chapter 2, it's the whole giving of the Holy Spirit. An essential church is one that lives in the power of God. Amen. They're not powered by the preacher's enthusiasm or somebody else's enthusiasm. They're not powered just by charity or good works, but they're powered by a relationship with God that makes a difference. You see, the power and presence of God makes a powerful change in the believers and in the world. The government can say churches aren't essential, and some aren't. But a real New Testament church is the most essential group in any community. You doubt that? Look in the book of Revelation. We're not going to look at any particular scriptures, but just think about the book of Revelation. What a turmoil, what a mess the world was in after the church was raptured out. Book of Revelation predicts projects the picture of a world without believers. Now, some get saved as they go along in Revelation, so eventually there are believers. But you look at what an evil, evil world without the church. Our world needs essential churches. And I pray that each person that's listening to me, whether you're a member of Barbie's Grove or whether you're a member of some other church, is a part of a church that is essential in your community and in the world. And I pray that you'll work and pray and minister to help your church become an essential church. So vital in your community that if your church suddenly disappeared, they'd say, boy, we sure miss those folks. Father, as we bow before you, I pray that we might have our hearts right with you. I pray that each person that hears me knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, ready to go to heaven. And Father, I pray that our church and all other churches that are represented might be the kind of church that our communities and our world needs. There's all kind of turmoil, all kind of riots and all kind of mess going on. Father, may we be the kind of people of God that make a difference. It was said about those early disciples, they took note that they had been with Jesus. Father, may it be said of us, not they've been to church, but may it be said of us, there's some folks that have spent some time with the Lord, and the glow is on their faces. The wisdom is in their voices, and the love is in their touch. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.